Sam Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Flooded roads in northeast Florida, a suspected tornado near Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and the same storm system dropped a lot of rain on Philadelphia.
People can't drive down here 50, 60 miles an hour or something bad's going to happen. I've seen them tow like about six cars already just since I've been around here.
Odyssey New York reporter Roger Stern has checked out storm damage on Long Island.
A large oak tree had fallen, hitting Jessica's car.
It's funny because the insurance is asking me if I could drive it. I'm like, it's on the floor. My car is squished.
Workers eventually removed the tree as folks on this block cope with no electricity.
At least two people have died, one in Maine and another in Massachusetts. A Washington state jury orders Monsanto Corporation to pay hundreds of millions of dollars to seven people who say they were poisoned by chemicals made by the company. CBS's Peter King.
The seven include five former students and two parent volunteers at a school in Monroe, Washington, near Seattle. They sued Monsanto, saying they were poisoned by chemicals that leaked from light fixtures at the school. They say the chemicals included PCBs that caused severe neurological and endocrine damage. The jury ordered Monsanto to pay $857 million in compensation and punitive damages. Monsanto calls the award excessive and says it will appeal. Peter King, CBS News.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott signs a law that cracks down on illegal immigrants entering his state. It authorizes state officials to arrest and seek the deportation of migrants suspected of crossing the border illegally. And
it creates a mandatory 10-year minimum prison sentence for smuggling illegal immigrants. It also creates a five-year minimum prison sentence for operating a stash house in Texas.
Drone and missile attacks by Houthi-controlled areas of Yemen on shipping vessels in the Red Sea are beginning to have an impact, CBS's Ramey Innocencio reports.
Those diversions will have massive impacts on oil prices and supply chain costs. And in response, Defense Secretary Austin has announced a new international coalition to help protect commercial ships sailing on the Red Sea.
In Iceland, a volcano erupts weeks after thousands were evacuated from a town. Helgrímur Indridason is a journalist in Iceland.
The lava crack that is now north of Grindavík has now reached 3.5 kilometers. That is like 2 miles. So this looks to be the biggest of all the eruptions that have been recently taking place in the Reykjanes Peninsula.
Iceland's foreign minister says on X that there are no disruptions to air traffic. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Some intimate parts need the gentle, easy trim of a Gillette trimmer. And some need the closeness and comfort of a Gillette Intimate Razor. While others need a Gillette Anti-Chafe Stick. Gillette Intimate, the best a man can get, down there. Buy now.
Halloween is over, but hiring is still a bit scary. Indeed's end-to-end solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates. Sponsor a job and instantly receive a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credits.
You've heard the buzz about IT jobs and cybersecurity and AI, right? Why not prepare for a career in these fields and take advantage of the high demand? You could enjoy a more rewarding and recession-resistant lifestyle. Train in just a few short months at My Computer Career. No experience necessary. Already in IT? Skill up for positions employers need to fill. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. That's mycomputercareer.edu. Financial aid is available for qualified students, including the GI Bill.
Say only 12% of eligible adults in Wisconsin have had the latest COVID vaccine. RSV and flu cases are up too. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Tampa wins the Battle of the Bays. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers lost to the Buccaneers 34-20. The longer the game, the further Green Bay fell behind. Questions being raised about the future of Packers defensive coordinator Joe Barry. Did he provide the right game plan? Packers linebacker Rashawn Gary.
Of course, going into the game, I feel like we got the right game plan. I feel like we were able to execute and come out on top. But to see the breakdown of the game, see how things went right or left, I have to go back, watch film, which I'm about to do in a couple of minutes to see where we went right or wrong. And like I said, come back, but make them corrections and get to work.
Is it time to fire Joe Barry? Matt LaFleur.
Now's not the time for that. Why is that?
Because now's not the time. I'm trying to find solutions, and I got to go back and take a look at the film.
NBA, the Bucks with a win over the Rockets, 128-119, and another franchise record for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Another game ball today. Giannis, all-time leading rebounder in Bucks history. I think he has four of those. Points, assists, blocks, now rebounding.
That's the Bucks head coach, Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a mostly clear sky, a low in the upper teens. And for tomorrow, a mostly sunny day, highs to the mid-30s with less wind. Sunshine near 40 degrees Wednesday. A mostly cloudy day for Thursday, slight rain chance late, highs in the low 40s. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who gives edible undies as gifts just because they taste good, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight for hour number two. Thanks for being with me on a Monday night, broadcasting live from beautiful City Deck here at the WGBW studios. Pardon me. So our question tonight, folks, is, do you still do Christmas cards, or are they a thing of the past? I don't do them. But I'm curious. We've gotten some really good texts tonight. Got a few more here. I don't think I read this one. I will admit it. We still hang all the cards up on the fridge, but let's all agree the days of the family newsletter are dead. I don't need a one page. I did read that one already. That's from the 630. Here's a new one. Love getting. Love me some Christmas cards. They are just fun to put together. So this person likes doing the work. And just giving them. And that's what Christmas is all about. Because I made a joke earlier. I like to read them and get them, but I don't send them. And I know that kind of makes me a hypocrite. But this is really kind of nice to see this. This person just likes sending them out. And that's from the 608. They like sending them out. And they don't care if they get one back. That is the Christmas giving spirit. In just a little bit, we are going to talk to syndicated columnist Greg Schwemm. He's going to discuss Christmas cards with us. And this plays right into what we're asking because Greg has received Christmas cards where he didn't even know who the people were in the picture. And I've done that too. And I'm mad I never made a joke about it. And then I read his column. I'm like, oh, that's great. Because you do. You look like, do I know these people? They look kind of familiar. So we'll talk to Greg a little bit about that at 9:30. But in the meantime, I don't know if you know this. Today is the 10th anniversary of the first start of Giannis Antetokounmpo. I still don't know if I'm saying his last name right, but our next guest can correct me if I'm saying it wrong. Please, this is my pleasure, really, to welcome to the show a filmmaker whose work I've liked for a long time, and he also does a lot of work for the Milwaukee Bucks, Brendan Jones. Brendan, welcome to Nightlight.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you great. I can hear you better than I can hear me. So
you're close. It's Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo. Okay.
Antetokounmpo.
A lot of people say Antetokounmpo.
You can say like Antetokounmpo as well. There's like two variations of it. There's two ways to say it, and the phonetic that they use in the broadcast is Antetokounmpo primarily.
Okay.
But he does like a Nigerian spelling of it too, like an older version that he used to do. But yeah, I remember teaching Brian Scalabrini, who does the Boston Celtics color analyst, how to say it.
Well, you can like just years call ago, him Giannis
like back
too.
In 2013. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like one of those guys. He's like iconic. You could just say his first name, and people know who you're talking about.
That you'll notice that a lot too. A lot of people are just like, yeah. Giannis.
Hey, so that's pretty cool. So tell us a little bit about why you made the video. And was this something you did for the Bucks or just because you're a fan?
Well, I work in sports television and I'm primarily a graphics operator, but I started with the Bucks in 2013, the year that Giannis was drafted.
And oh, nice.
I used to have in college, I go to games. When I was a kid, I go to games and I was always like teased because I was a big Bucks fan during the Jordan era, you know, like Michael Jordan was pretty popular.
Heard of them?
The Bucks were not. So when I was in college, it was cheap to go to games, and then I tried getting into sports TV, and I was a utility, so I started early because I was freelancing doing a bunch of stuff, you know, like odd jobs and movies and TV shows and stuff. And I got a job with the Bucks, and that year I had a half season like ticket package too. But
did we lose Brendan? StreamYard is acting up tonight. I think we lost Brendan.
It says he's still in here, but okay. We'll give it a couple.
Hey, oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So sorry, you were saying you.
So
had a half season ticket package.
Yeah, and so like I guess, but then I started in 2013 working too in sports television. So kind of like when they drafted Giannis and got Chris Middleton, and they had the worst record in the league. So yeah, it was kind of my first year. So this is like a fan from a fan's perspective, in my opinion, but also being someone that's followed the team for my whole life.
Yeah. No, that must be a thrill. Where we met was at the Wisconsin Film Festival, and you had a short film called Bob the Buck. And I thought it was just this really kind of endearing. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And can people see that anywhere? That was such a neat little film.
Yeah, so Bob the Buck, I believe you can just go look it up or like watch it on, Vimeo. It should be, if you type in Bob the Buck, I believe it's up there for free. Watch it wherever. But in my years of working, I've done so many odd jobs before I really got into like the graphic side of things, where I do some stats and other things. And Bob was the statistician, and he was the scorekeeper for the Bucks for 50 years.
Jeez.
So he started in 1968 when the franchise was founded. And I was always like, who is this old man? I talked to him, befriended him. Nice guy. Really like, you kind of saw myself in him a little bit,
Yeah.
Like just way younger. And I just like kind of followed him around and didn't know he was kind of a hoarder of like stats, memorabilia.
He kept like every scorecard ever, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, he did the manual scorekeeping. Wow. You're right. But he had everything. Like his basement, he had a box from every year from 1968 until, he stopped working, I think, in 2020, 2021. The team did give him a ring when they won the championship, though.
So cool.
Yeah.
So a guy like that must love having a film made about him, even if it was a short film like that you're kind of immortalizing him, right?
Yeah, and that's just it. Like, so my girlfriend always kind of doesn't really tease me, but she's like, you like old people. And I'm like, yeah, I do like old people. I like old people, like, because you see them and they might be having a cup of coffee or like having breakfast and kind of like quiet and, kind of just blend in with the environment. But there's a lot of stories that and life experience they have. And, sometimes if we just ask them a few questions, they have a lot of interesting things to share with us.
Yeah. Next thing you know, you're making a documentary about them.
Exactly. That's exactly how it happened, Pete.
So, okay. So you're a filmmaker and you studied film and you somehow ended up in sports. How did that happen?
Well, I was doing one of those, like, I was working as much as I could, wherever I could. And I'm like, I went to film school to like make things too. I wanted to make something. So I got together with some friends and we did one of those 48-hour film festivals, which like, I recommend if you're young and you're trying to like get good at your craft, but they're tough. You stay up for 48 hours, you write a script, you shoot, you edit, you finish a movie in 2 days. So,
right.
I was really excited. I had a cast and crew and we're all excited about doing it. Never did one before. And my editor dropped out like the night before. He's like, hey, I can't make it. And I'm just like, oh, okay. I need an editor. Like, we need to edit this. So I went to Craigslist of all places.
Oh my
this
gosh.
Is before, this is like 2008, 2009. Right. And this guy responded named Eric West and never met him. We met out for coffee. I just want to make sure, he was like, normal kind of person, like not some weirdo. And we hit it off and like he did such a good job and he's actually won multiple Emmys for editing like documentaries and so on.
He's
like he's the main audio A1 for Big Fox. Like he does all he does baseball on Fox, he does college football. Like he's really made a great career out of it. I didn't know this.
And he's looking for gigs on Craigslist?
Because he wanted to get back into creative because he was so like, all I do is sports TV. I do broadcast. You know what I mean? There's no real creativity in like telling a narrative story so he was just trying to like meet some like younger kids to like hang out with and like, edit and make projects and music videos. So nice. You know, tap into his creative side, because he went to film school too. So it was just kind of cool. We became friends, and then they were looking for someone to, like, you know, help out in the TV truck and do odd jobs. So I did. And then I eventually kind of got into the whole, like, truck life. And I traveled with the Bucks for a couple of years, and I've been doing graphics now for about 5, and I really love it. It's kind of best of both worlds for me.
That's so cool. So I want to ask you one more thing, and then we'll segue in, because you've worked on some cool films too. And this show is mostly, you know, showbiz and entertainment related, but I put sports in that category too, because sports is like, you don't know the ending. Like, it's not at all predictable. So, but what is Giannis? Where do you put him? I know he's got a lot of career left, but where do you put him in the all-time greats? Top 10, top 25, top 50?
That's tough. I mean, he's moving up in the scoring list. I think he's on the outside looking in by like one or two. You know, you have the top NBA scorers, 100 of all time. I think Lillard's in the top 70 or 60. I mean, he's moving up quickly. But I would say at the end of his career, Giannis ranks first in all franchise ranks, the major categories right now, except for three-point field goals. Chris Middleton has that, but Giannis has games, points, blocks, rebounds, assists.
Wow.
So,
well, you know, in terms of best Bucks, I mean, if you count Jabbar or Lou Alcindor, I mean, but where do you rank him in the NBA greats as of right now? Yeah. Where do you project him to be?
I was looking at it as, like, you know, it's tough because you have, like, you know, back, you talk about movies, like, you know, you have these like classic movies that are considered like some of the best of all time, but they happen before all these other movies come after them, you know, like same with the players,
right?
Different game, different era. But I would say, like, at the end of his career, if it progresses, if he wins another championship or two, he's right up there with like the Kobe Bryants, you know, like of the world. And I think he's the only player to win MVP and Defensive Player of the Year in the same season, other than Olajuwon and Jordan, I believe, right, off the top of my head. So he's got to be top, I would say top 25. I mean, he's in the 75th anniversary, but I would say top 25 right now, in my opinion. Like, I mean, yeah, it's tough. There's so many players when you look at a list, you're like, oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
There's right, all these other guys. But yeah, I mean, one of the best, like for sure one of the best. In my opinion, he's like gonna always be one of my, you know, tops or favorites.
Oh yeah. I mean, the fact that the Bucks ended up with him, I mean, and credit to them. But like, I heard something recently that said he only lives in Milwaukee. Is that true? Like, the guy just fell in love with the city.
Yeah, well, that's the interesting part. A lot of these players, you know, they come up in like in the prep side, or like, you know, they play like basketball in the AU, and they're the next big thing, you know.
Yeah.
They're in seventh grade and it's like, this is the next Michael Jordan. But, you know, Giannis came up wanting to play soccer and not really playing basketball until he was like late or in his teen years, you know, high school. And he wasn't really familiar with the game or the United States. So like, no one really knew who he was. So he comes from a very humble, you know, beginning. And I don't think, you know, he had to prove himself, you know, in many ways. And so he comes here and no one really knows about him, but he's got that desire, that passion that a lot of people don't. A lot of people just have the talent, but not that drive. And he's got both. And he also works very hard. You know, he'll be the last one to leave the gym. He's a remarkable, I feel, not just athlete, but driven human being that just wants to be the best. And that's like what you see in some of these other players like Jordan or Kobe or.
Right. You know, you can't coach that. They're just, it's just inside them. And he's such a great boost to the community, and that he re-signed there and didn't, you know, it's just a great story.
It's a remarkable story. I mean, Disney made a movie about it.
yeah, exactly. Hey, can you hang for like 60 seconds, Brandon? I want to ask you about these movies you worked on. You worked on some pretty good films.
Yeah, for sure. All right. I love Pete, of course.
Awesome. All right. This is Brandon Jones. He's going to hang out a few more minutes and talk about the movies he's worked on. You need to text us if you still send Christmas cards or not. 920-264-0606. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Tucker on hand, throws it up for Ayton. Shot blocked by Antetokounmpo. What a block from Giannis. This building is shaking. It gets inside, leans in. Knocked away and stolen by Holiday. Phoenix has to foul. And Antetokounmpo throws it down. Looking. Inside of Antetokounmpo, puts up the one-hander, shot is good! This crowd has erupted. Giannis Antetokounmpo with one of the most iconic performances in the storied history of the NBA Finals. It's over! The Bucks have done it! The long wait has ended. After a half century, the Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions once again!
This is my city, you know, they trust me, they believe in me, but this is the hard way to do it, and we did it.
Was a clip from a video that was made by our guest Brendan Jones, who he made this video, and you're with us. Jump in anytime, Brendan, if I get this wrong, but you made this video because this is the 10th anniversary of Giannis's first start as a Buck, correct?
Yeah, today marks the first start he had, and honestly the video kind of came like rather organically. I wasn't waiting to do this. I was cleaning my office a couple weeks ago, and I kept the original scorecard, I kept the original media packet, and I kept the original lineup that Bob Wanick, who I did the movie about, had done.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's December 18th. I'm like, oh, wow, that's 10 years ago. So I brought it up to my producer, James Stewart, who's a really creative, talented guy himself. And I told him my idea, and he's like, yeah, go ahead. So I'm like, cool. So it wasn't like, it was just like, he was like, do whatever you want. He didn't really.
Oh, that's so cool.
So just let me do it. Yeah.
You say, the fact that you save all that stuff. Yeah. I know there's a another documentary in your future. So you just sound like a documentarian.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to some other stuff you've done. You've done some pretty cool stuff in the show business. You've worked on some big movies in different capacities, which I think is pretty cool. So tell us about, you know, we're up here in broadcasting from Green Bay, but statewide. But Tony Shalhoub has been in the news a lot lately. The Monk movie came out. He was at the Packer game. You worked on the film Feed the Fish. What was that like?
Yeah, so that was the first real movie I worked on out of college. And I was just looking for anything to get my foot in the door. And my dad had told me, he's like, hey, I read in the paper, there's a movie that's like, they're trying to find crew in the Door County area. My family's been going to Door County since, you know, before I was even born. So I reached out to the producer and I met him in Madison. At the time I was like bartending and picking up odd jobs, and he was like, can I see your resume? I'm like, well, I'm a film student and I've done like a few things, and here's my resume. He's like, oh, well, he's like, I feel good about you. You want to be the key production assistant? I'm like, sure.
Oh, nice.
I didn't know what that entailed. And then I don't want to regale too much, but my appendix, I had an appendectomy the day before I was supposed to be on set.
Oh no.
And it was my first movie. I didn't want to miss it for anything. So the doctor said, go rest for a few days. And what I did is I hopped in the car and I drove up to Door County. And for the first week, I was like kind of hobbling around, but it was like one of the best experiences because I met a lot of friends that I still spend time with, a lot of colleagues I still work with in the freelance world. And that's one of those like things I'll cherish forever. And I got to do it with some really great people. And a lot of those actors have moved on, like Ross Partridge, Katie Hazelton, who's now married to Mark Duplass. Like they've made great careers, you know?
Yeah. You literally gutted it out.
Yeah, I did gut it out. Yeah, it's a good job.
All right, so we got the other one here is Public Enemies. What did you do on Public Enemies?
Well, that was just like, you know, they were like, hey, we need some extra, you know, some hands on deck and like, you know, production assistance. So we took a bus up there, a bunch of us from Milwaukee, and we worked a little on set. Some of us drove, some of us just like, you know, did some paperwork. And then we drank a lot of spotted cows after that up there.
Oh, nice.
that was like a 2-day thing.
Did you have any interaction with Michael Mann?
No, I didn't. I didn't have much interaction with Michael Mann. I've had some good interactions with other, you know, like filmmakers on certain movies that you're on longer.
Yeah.
Or other like production, like, you know, production managers. Cause you kind of forge like relationships because you see these people every day. Like Love and Other Drugs was one of my favorite memories. That was in 2009 in Pittsburgh. But yeah, that was a good one with, you know, some really great talented actors and directors. Ed Zwick directed that one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good movie. So you also did, you got in your credits, Red Dawn.
Yeah.
Contagion.
Yeah.
And the remake from 2012, Contagion, and then also Fast Five. Was that one of the Fast and Furious?
That was, I was on the train unit in Arizona. So like I moved out to LA for a little bit doing some stuff, but I also have friends in the, that were executive chefs. And one of them works with Steven Soderbergh on almost all of his movies. And he invited me to help out. So I kind of like was just working on the food side. And then I turned that into a little side hustle for a few years, but I got to talk to Steven Soderbergh here and there quite a bit, who I really respected. I kind of really got into movies in high school, and he did like Traffic, I remember.
Oh yeah. My first week in LA, I was at a party that he was at. We had a mutual friend.
Oh really?
Yeah. And I got to talk to Steven Soderbergh. I'm like, hey, this is pretty cool. You know, and he was really just a really good guy, very down to earth. And we had an actual conversation where I felt like he was listening to me, and I, you know, it was great. So it was one of my first experiences. So, and he's a phenomenal director. So.
Well, I would say you hit the nail on the head. He's definitely, you wouldn't know he's the director. Like I don't know if he still smokes, but he'd come over and hang out by us and have a cigarette. And just like you think he might have been like the locations manager or, you know, just a crew member, because he's like so approachable and so nice. And like, he just really, like you said, you would have a conversation, like he was absorbing what you were saying and like giving you like his time and energy. And the thing I liked about Soderbergh was that was Contagion. And I was in San Francisco for that. He had short days. Like his whole thing was like, I want efficiency on set. Like if he thinks he has the shot, if he thinks he's got the scene, he's not going to waste the actor's times or their day, their energy. And he wants to move on. So I really like the efficiency. Like most of those days I was only working like, you know, 10, 12 hours. And on movies, like sometimes you're working like 18.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was only working 12 hours. It was great.
Yeah. Wow. True. What an easy day.
So, okay. So did you have any interaction with Johnny Depp on Public Enemies? Like an Oscar?
No, Jake Gyllenhaal and Anne Hathaway, they were some of my favorites. And then Judy Greer of all people, like, you know, she was like still kind of up and coming back when I was working with her. But yeah, she's really made a career for herself in these like Halloween movies. And
that's so cool. Other things, we just have like a minute left, Brendan.
I know. I'm sorry. I could talk to you.
No, listen, this is what we do here. We talk show business. Yeah. And I love hearing these on the set stories and stuff. So I got to ask you, though, like in 30 seconds, favorite Christmas movie?
Oh man, the first thing that comes to my head growing up, like I love Home Alone. That's one that I love. And Planes, Trains, Automobiles. I don't know if that's a Christmas movie.
It's holiday. That counts. I'll give you a pass on that one. And then eggnog, delicious or disgusting?
I don't drink it. Disgusting for me. I do send out Christmas cards. I just got a bunch of Pee Wee custom.
Christmas cards. Nice.
I love Pee Wee. That's another conversation.
Yeah, that's another conversation. You need to go make your documentary because you got the skills.
Thanks
so much for your time tonight, Brendan.
Thank you. You're
the
best. And, you know, go Bucks, right?
Sure.
You're a team we can agree on, right?
I'm a home state guy. I will cheer for the Bucks. I will say that. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Thanks to you.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, Pete. And have a great night.
Yeah.
And don't be a stranger.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Brendan.
Thanks.
Later.
Bye.
All right. That was Brendan Jones. He made a really cool Giannis video on his 10th anniversary of his first start. Do you still send out Christmas cards or are they a thing of the past? We got some great text tonight. Let us know. It's 920-264-0606. And just a couple of minutes, we're going to do a deep dive into Christmas cards. The whole thing started because I read an article a friend of mine wrote. He's a nationally syndicated columnist, Greg Schwemm, and he's going to join us here on Nightlight in just a couple of minutes. Stick around. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. I think it's one of those deja vu things. Or a train is trying to tell me something. But we'll have to stop thinking about it. I don't know, I doubt it. Subterranean by design. I wonder what I would find if I met you. Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess who. Most I wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Cleanup efforts are underway up and down the East Coast following a storm that has killed at least two people and knocked down trees and power lines and flooded roadways from the Carolinas to New England. Weather Channel meteorologist Mike Seidel.
This really fits in to the El Nino that's forecast for this season in North America and also the warmest year on record. You would think that would mean heavy rain.
A U.S. jury orders Bayer's Monsanto to pay $857 million to seven former students and parent volunteers at a Monroe, Washington school. They say PCB chemicals made by the company leaked from light fixtures and made them sick. Monsanto says it will appeal. Searching for survivors in northwest China, where state media say at least 111 people have been killed in a magnitude 6.2 earthquake. And now the China Earthquake Network Center says there has been another quake with a magnitude of 5.5. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin will begin offering abortion services in Sheboygan again before the end of the year. Planned Parenthood began offering abortions in Madison and Milwaukee in September, but we're waiting to beef up their staff in Sheboygan before starting there again. Sheboygan County DA Joel Ermansky says that he will respect a ruling from a Dane County judge earlier this month that said that the law that was interpreted as an abortion ban is actually a ban on non-consensual feeding. Decides. Governor Evers might consider sending the National Guard into understaffed state prisons. That's what some advocates and families of inmates would like him to do. The Department of Corrections says state prisons in Wisconsin are 29% short-staffed. Advocates say that's making conditions isolated, dangerous, dirty, and generally unhealthy behind bars. Evers' office has not said what he might do. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, a mostly clear sky, a low in the upper teens. And for tomorrow, a mostly sunny day, highs to the mid-30s with less wind. Sunshine near 40 degrees Wednesday. A mostly cloudy day for Thursday, slight rain chance late, highs in the low 40s. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
One, two, three, four.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabe. Tomorrow on the show, this was kind of funny. Jerry Seinfeld was spotted eating at an Indian restaurant in Wauwatosa over the weekend. He did a show in Milwaukee. And the picture went viral, as the kids say. We were going to talk to Charanjit Bola, who is the owner of the Indian restaurant that Jerry Seinfeld ate at yesterday. That's how close we are to fame, folks. We're going to find out what Jerry ordered. Charanjit has agreed to come on the air and talk to us a little bit about Jerry's visit. So that'll be exciting. And Frank Hermans will be on the show tomorrow night, too, performing live in the studio. You won't want to miss that. That'll be fun. But right now, we're talking about Christmas cards tonight. And I did get another text. It says, love them. This is from the 920. Love getting them. Not as good about sending them out. Join the club. And now I'd like to welcome to the show a guy I've known for quite a while. He was a stand-up comedian. And when you're a comedian, you either typically, if you don't start selling out theaters, you segue into writing or acting. And this guy went crazy and became a nationally syndicated columnist because he's smart enough to do that. And he joins me now, Greg Schwamm. Greg, hey, how are you?
Hey, Pete, how are you?
Great
to see you. Great to hear from you.
Likewise. I've read your stuff and we've talked sporadically over the years, but I always want to reach out to you after I read something you read, because I love your take on things. It's always funny and insightful. And you wrote this piece about Christmas cards and getting a Christmas card that you didn't know the people in the card. And I've been there and I'm like, mad. I never thought to do something with that. So did you eventually figure out who it was?
I did. I had to, okay. I had to do some serious Googling and searching and LinkedIning, if that's a, if that's an adverb.
You sent it to the FBI for analysis.
Yeah, I did. I finally figured out it was the owner of a company that I freelance for, but he's never in the, it was a company I just started freelancing for. And this guy's like never in the office. So yeah, I probably should have known, and the weird thing is I recently moved and he had my new address, which made it even more odd.
Yeah. So,
and it was just like this perfect card with, you know, your classic family card, you know, dad, mom, the three kids, and they look like they just jumped out of the Macy's catalog. And I just stared at it like, who in the heck are these people?
That's so funny.
And it was the first card I got. So, I mean, right out of the chute, I'm confused.
Whoever sent it, they're on it.
Yes, exactly.
So does that drive you crazy, Greg, when you get something like, and I don't know if that's them in the, I assume you used a different stock photo or something, but people, and I had a texter say this, it's like Instagram, everyone's life looks so perfect. And they say depression is up when you access social media. I mean, does that drive you crazy, or do you send out Christmas cards?
I do. I send them out to business associates and personal friends. You know, it's like you were saying, the texter that just wrote you prior to us coming on, me coming on the show, about love getting them, not so good about sending them out. I think everybody's like that. I don't think anybody just sits down and go, oh man, I just can't wait to spend the weekend writing the same thing over and over and over again to people I only hear from once a year, if that. And especially now, I think people, when it's so easy, that temptation is there to just send a blanket email blast out with, you know, with reindeer, with a reindeer gif, and say, and we'll call it a day.
Listen, I'm fine with it. And that I would do. But here, honestly, I thought about this after I read your article. And to be honest, the last time I sent cards out, my kids were like 9 and 5, and you know, you're still in that young parent mode. You're like, hey, I'm proud of my kids. Aren't they cute? Let's get it out there. Then I realized, okay, you got to take the picture. And I'm a total spaz. I can't get my kids to sit still. I don't take a good picture. So some people obviously have it professionally done. Buy the stationery, pick up the cards, track down addresses. I mean, seriously, I'm not that good at keeping addresses. Then there's the postage. It's a week of my life and like 12 grand to send out Christmas cards.
Right.
That's insane.
And you know, one of those steps you're going to screw up.
Right.
Probably, or you don't have like, whatever that was.
Exactly. And I love the one you said about where you just got a picture of a dog. They're not even sending you themselves. It's like, hey, guess who this is? That's right. This so is the most funny.
Right. Now I got to figure out who the dog is. I don't know that. So, and you can't dogs don't have LinkedIn profiles.
Right.
That I know of. So I can't search that way.
So you're a big, you do a lot of corporate gigs.
I do.
And you and I work clubs together, and that's where we became friends. Can you talk a little bit about, is it harder or easier to work corporate clubs compared to regular comedy clubs?
I think it's more difficult. I think it's, I don't want to say difficult. I guess I will say more challenging.
Okay.
I got into the corporate side of it. Really, it's been about 20 years that I have focused exclusively on the corporate market. When I say corporate for your listeners, I mean, that means I do gigs at business conferences and sales kickoffs and awards banquets and those kind of things. And so I'm not in a comedy club. I'm in a hotel ballroom, convention center, places like that. And the difference is that you are performing for people who are basically at work. You're kind of interrupting the workday in a way.
Yeah.
I don't like to think of it as interrupting. I think I'm contributing to it. By making them laugh about what they do for a living. But think about it. When you go to a comedy club, when you're a club comic, you're in front of an audience that they made that decision that they want to go out and be entertained tonight. Mm. They could have done a lot of other things. They could have gone to a restaurant. Maybe they did before. They could have gone to see a movie. They chose to go to a comedy club because they want to laugh and they're expecting that. When you do corporates, a lot of times they don't even know I'm coming out at all.
Wow. That's interesting.
It is. And so you have to kind of win them over as to why you're there and what you're providing for them. But honestly, I find that to be, that's where I find the challenge of it. But it's also, to me, it's so gratifying because once you do win them over, and they become like, wow, this is kind of a cool place to work. Because they hired that guy.
That is cool. That's really interesting. My guest is Greg Schwemm. He's a nationally syndicated columnist. You can read his stuff. Where, Greg? Tribune Services?
Tribune Content Agency. And the name of the column is Huber Hotel. And I've been writing that for about the past 12 years now.
So that's a pretty good gig. So that's interesting what you said. So you write these columns, you do corporate gigs. And I thought I remember reading somewhere, it was either in your bio or maybe you told me personally, you design each show for the group you're doing the show for in the corporate world. Like, that's a ton of work. That sounds like it's a lot more work than actually just working clubs.
It is. I mean, and when I say the whole show, I can't write a whole show for every single client, but I do take the time to get on their website. I talk to some of their executives and so forth. I send out a questionnaire and then I put together. I use visuals in my show. I mean, and I started doing that because I would walk into these big ballrooms and I would see this AV setup with big IMAG screens and so forth. And I started thinking, why aren't I using that? Why I'm not paying for that. They paid for it. Why don't I use that? And so now almost all my presentations come with a PowerPoint, which really helps in the customization of the show that I do and the material, because now I can not only make fun of them or have fun with them verbally, but I can do it visually as well.
That's pretty cool. And it must be nice not to have, I'm sure you remember some of the rooms we worked, before they outlawed smoking, you're standing there basically in just surrounded by secondhand smoke.
Yes.
This guy's trying to tell his wife to be quiet. This husband's got to run to the bathroom because he's got to vomit. I mean, you've got a wide array of people in comedy clubs. So my guess is you take them out of the equation with the corporate clubs, but are they sometimes hesitant to laugh because the boss is there?
I think so. Yeah. I think they're hesitant. And I've got my own set of problems too. I mean, I have people who come in. I mean, they can't get off their phones. Again, it goes back to they're still at work. Some of them bring in their laptops. I swear, that's the one time that I kind of draw the line. The phone thing, that's the society we live in.
Right.
You cannot keep people off your phones. But if I see somebody out in the audience with a laptop open during my set, I won't call them out individually. I won't go, hey, like, hey, dude, can you shut your laptop? But I will make it more of a general statement, sort of like, you know, I'm here to just, you know, make you laugh for an hour, make you laugh about what you do. So, you know, this is a great time to shut off your phones, close your laptops, that kind of thing. Just, okay. Just subtle enough.
A little nudge.
Because I think that's kind of rude. I think if you bring your laptop in, if what you're doing is that important, right. You should be in your hotel.
You should
room
be in, yeah, exactly.
Don't come to my stage and do it, you yeah, know? Right. So yeah, but what was the second part of your question? I think was, what I can't remember.
Just about how different it is. And can you win them over? Like, as opposed to clubs where,
yeah, I think, you know, winning them over is very gratifying. And,
yeah.
And I think it's not as easy, to win them over because they got to get used to you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, you and I have probably both done, it's like when you do concerts, it's like when a comedian does an opening act for a big name musical act. And I've done a bunch of those. And I think you probably have done too, but they don't know you're on the bill. So right. When you walk out, they think they're going to see the person they paid to see. And it's like, now there's this guy.
Yeah.
And what are we supposed to do? Right. And you as the comedian, like, I don't know. What are you supposed to listen to me? That's what you're supposed
to
do.
Hey, you're not an Indigo girl.
Yeah. Neither of them. Yeah.
The best. Okay. I have an exact story. I was in, where was I? Oh, I was in Myrtle Beach. And yeah. They asked me, the club owner said, hey, would you mind opening for Huey Lewis in the News? I said, no, okay. It's great. You know, it was like a 1200 seat and it weren't even sold out, which blew me away because I mean, I guess they had been gone just long enough not to have the public clamoring for them to come back yet. They were in that sweet right. spot. And so I go up there and Hootie and the Blowfish were all over the charts at that time. So I had to introduce Huey Lewis in the News and I almost said Hootie Lewis in the News. And I'm like, oh my God, that'd be the worst. Cause I loved Huey Lewis growing up. I loved his music. He was a pretty
oh, yeah,
cool guy
I opened
backstage.
For them too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were great.
Yeah.
So.
Everybody opened for Huey Lewis. Yeah. Like that.
So
that's so funny.
Let's do one more gift thing. And then if you can stick around for 60 seconds, I'd love to ask you some more about comedy and the road and yeah. Christmas a little bit, but what is with these car commercials, Greg? How many people are buying their spouse a brand new $80,000 car? Do you have any inside information on it? You probably did a corporate gig for one of these companies.
Probably. Yeah. And finding the bow to put on top of it. They always have the bow, right? Where the hell do you get one of those bows?
It's
if
an option.
Been to like any kind of a CVS and see, I would like a bow for what kind of a pack? Like a Tesla.
Pickup truck. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Where's that one? Yeah.
You want the alloy wheels and the bow that comes with that?
Right.
I was
right.
like the only.
Well, the ones I don't like are the Christmas commercial, the guilt ones. And this was part of my column too.
Yeah, I love that.
The guilty jewelry ads. About, you know, hey guys, if you really love her, you'll want to make sure you have this diamond choker under the tree. If it's always, if you really, isn't yeah. she worth it type of thing. And it's all the same script, but it never works in reverse. Does it, Pete?
No,
you never hear ladies. If you love him, there'll be a fishing rod and a bowling ball under. We never get that. We never get
it. We never get it. I got shoe beans once as a gift. So I'm not from my wife. And it's hard to come back from that. It's like, I guess I got to do a little more work in the romantic world here if I'm going to get back off that. But all right. So, Greg, can you hang around just for 60 seconds? Then we'll jump back in.
I have nowhere to go.
All right. Fantastic. I love to hear that. My guest is Greg Schwemm. He's a nationally syndicated columnist and he's hanging out with us on a Monday night. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Get no rest, don't know how I work all day. When will I learn? Memories get in the way. I walk around, I can't hear a sound, folks talking loud, but I don't see at all. I gotta get away, gotta get away. I don't
know where to go.
The Shaw, WAUK.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Half Diamonds. Brett,
I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds in any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Hack Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shy?
You? Well, at Robert Hack Diamonds, we sit with you at a table. We go through your items and make you an offer. You're not pressured, and we offer more on jewelry that we can resell.
Can I trade my gold for a new piece of jewelry?
Of course you can, and not only that, we can custom make a piece of jewelry using your gold and gems.
Hey, there you have it, folks. Sell your gold to my friends at Robert Hack Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Robert Hack Diamonds, where they want your business.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
And I go, we don't need anything at Macy's. And she goes, I know. And I go, well, why are we continuing this conversation? And she goes, well, here's the thing. I got an email from Macy's, and it said, today only, if you spend $100 at Macy's, you'll save 50. I said, that is so weird. Because I too got an email from Macy's today. Mine said, if you don't spend anything at Macy's today, you'll save $100 or $1,000 or $1,000,000. You just tell us how much money you want to keep, and we at Macy's will make it happen.
Those are the comedy stylings of Greg Schwemm, who is
the
my
comedy
guest.
Comedy stylings in front of an audience of tens, as you can tell.
People that appreciate humor don't need a laugh track, though, Greg. They get it.
That's right.
That's great stuff. So let me ask you, how did you make the jump from stand-up comic to nationally syndicated writer? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, you know, my background was journalism. So actually, I made the jump from writer
to comedy.
And then just sort of added it because, yeah, I was a journalism major at Northwestern. That's where I went to school. And I did comedy on the side, but I thought, you know, make my parents happy. I should be a journalist. So I moved to Florida, and that's what I did for 5 years. I was a newspaper reporter for 2.5 years. Then I was a television reporter for the 2.5.
I forgot about that.
But I always did. So writing's in my background. It's in my blood. But I always did stand up, and eventually stand up became more fun to do than journalism. And that's why I quit that and moved to Chicago to be a comedian full time. But then I had a friend who I went to college with who rose very quickly through the ranks at the Chicago Tribune. And he was the one who said to me, he says, we're looking for a humor columnist. Would you be interested? And that was back in like 2010. So wow. I was like, yeah. They're really great over there. They let me write about pretty much whatever I want, whenever I want, and it's been a lot of fun.
So you worked clean,
yes,
primarily, and was that a conscious decision or just something that kind of happened organically?
No, that was a conscious decision. I got schooled on that very early when I first started doing stand up. I was 16.
Oh my
and
gosh.
That's the first time I went into a comedy club, the Comedy Cottage in Rosemont, Illinois. You remember that place?
Sadly, yes.
Okay. Yeah, yes, we do. So, and I got on stage and being very nervous, I let loose a few F-bombs. By the way, I quick tangent. I just saw The Road Dog, and you nailed your supporting actor scene. Line about what the F was that?
It was fun to swear in a movie.
I'm sure it was. Did you practice that in front of the mirror just to get the right cadence? And do I accentuate the F
I was using expletives I heard so many club owners use after I got off stage. So it was a pretty easy sense memory.
You weren't even acting, Pete.
Right, anyway, exactly.
So I came off stage one night and this guy comes up to me and he says, I think you're really funny. But he says, you're 16, you look 12. And he goes, every time you swear, he goes, it's not believable. That's what he said to me.
Oh, wow.
He goes, I really like your material. But he goes, you're swearing just to swear and it's not you. And I took that to heart and I don't look 12 anymore. But wow. I really thought, okay, I gotta write without relying on profanity. And it's just stuck with me ever since. And I mean, nobody, I will say one thing. I don't think I've ever not gotten a gig because somebody said you're too clean.
Yeah. No, good point.
Yeah. You know? I mean, a lot of comics lose gigs because you're too dirty. You're too X-rated. You're too this.
Or don't appear on TV because of that. Yeah. I think you can't go
exactly.
wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or definitely corporate corporate gigs.
Yeah.
Too. I mean, you have to be very, very clean. And most of the venues that I work now, I do corporates now. I've started to get into some cruise ship work. And same thing, you know, you gotta work clean because you gotta appeal to the masses.
Yeah.
And the masses don't necessarily, some of the masses like dirty, but, and really Pete, if you look at the comics that are really selling out, you know, that are playing arenas, I mean, not just theaters, the ones that are selling 15,000 yeah. seaters, you know, the Gaffigans, the Seinfelds,
Brian Regan,
Nate Bargatze,
yeah,
is the latest example of that. Maniscalco, those guys work clean,
right? No, that's a great point. The Comedy Angels spoke and you listened, so good for you. That's it's served you well, so that's excellent. Greg, I really appreciate you being here tonight. Thanks so much for being on the show, and keep up the good work.
My pleasure.
I will keep looking for columns and asking you back if you're okay with that.
I would love to come back. It's always great to see. It's great to catch up.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a great night, and thanks so much.
All right. Happy holidays.
You too. All right. That's Greg Schwemm, nationally syndicated columnist and former and current stand-up comedian. So thank you, everyone, for your text. Hey, Conrad, do we have time? It's Steven Spielberg's birthday, and we didn't play a clip. Do we have time?
Yeah, we do.
All right, let's fire. This is Steven Spielberg. He's 77 today. This is a clip from Catch Me If You Can, where Leonardo DiCaprio plays a young con artist, and he's really good. And this is a scene with Tom Hanks where he's pretending to be law enforcement.
Hands on your head.
Oh, that's the new IBM Selectric.
Put your hands on your head.
Print type in 5 seconds.
Shut up.
Pop out the ball.
Put your hands on your head. Put your hands.
You know, he's got over 200 checks here.
Hands on your head.
Drafting. He even has little payroll envelopes addressed to himself.
Put it down. Drop it.
Relax. You're late, all right? My name's Alan, Barry Allen, United States Secret Service. Your boy just tried to jump out the window. My partner has him in custody.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What, you think the FBI are the only ones on this guy? I mean, come on. Come on, he's dabbling in government checks here. I've been following a paper trail on this guy for months now. Hey, you mind taking that gun out of my face? Please, really. I mean, it makes me nervous.
You see some credentials.
Yeah, sure. Take my whole wallet. You want my gun, too? Come over here. Take my gun. Hey, look. Just do me a favor. Take a look outside. Look. Look out the window. My partner's walking into the car as we speak. Look. Old guy almost pissed in his pants when I came through the door. He jumped right through the window onto the hood of my car. Hey, Murph.
Yeah?
Call the LAPD again. I don't want people walking through my crime scene.
That is a scene from Catch Me If You Can. Leonardo DiCaprio outsmarting Tom Hanks's character. So great. Happy birthday, Steven Spielberg. He's really coming into his own as a filmmaker. Keep those films coming. Thanks to my texters tonight and my guests, Mike Toomey, Brendan Jones, and Greg Schwemm. Tomorrow night, Frank Hermans performs in studio multiple songs. I want to thank you for listening to Nightlight tonight on a Monday, the Monday before Christmas. Have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Cool kids never have the time. Oh, light white right above the street. You and I should be. Jukebox skipping like a stone. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.